Thumbtack presents the ins and outs of caring for your home. Out, procrastination, putting it off, kicking the can down the road. In, plans and guides that make it easy to get home projects done. Out, carpet in the bathroom. Like, why? In, knowing what to do, when to do it, and who to hire. Start caring for your home with confidence. Download Thumbtack today.
I recently found out that you can see a personal dietitian covered by insurance. There's this platform called Nourish that will match you with a dietitian based on whatever your concerns are, whether that's weight loss, eating disorders, autoimmune conditions, or something else. They're actually a network with major insurance providers, so most patients pay $0 out of pocket. 94% of patients pay $0 out of pocket. Find your dietitian at usenourish.com. That's usenourish.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
This hour is brought to you by AlmostFreeTeeth.com. Save on dental implants today.
Bulls win! Bulls win! Bulls win! And it's on to the play-in tournament against Miami Wednesday.
It's going to be one of those grinding out games. Every time you know you're playing Miami Heat, you're playing a gritty team, tough, very physical. So for us, we got to come in and be together. Like you said, fight through the adversity together. Everything that we do, you know, Wednesday and leading up to Wednesday has to be together. We have to be connected.
The Score Midday Show, 10 to 2 on 670 The Score.
Oh, that's fun. I don't know that we've ever had that intro music for us, Marshall Harris.
Listen, man, we're out here trying to get into the mood, into the mode, if you will. We need to get ready for some Bulls basketball that's going to be seismic.
The play-in game. It's where your stats don't count. And maybe you'll advance. Maybe you'll still go home later. Maybe you'll lose and go home. What's on the line?
Look, I want to lay this out very simply, Layla. We are at that point in the season where we talked about tanking. It didn't happen. But the Bulls very much still in play for lottery odds. Here's the best case scenario if you are in the camp of, I wish the Bulls weren't even in this play-in. I want them to get the best odds possible. What you want to root for is a Miami Heat win because they have a worse record than you. And so if Miami Heat, if they beat the Bulls and then they win their second game, now the Bulls jump up a couple of spots. Also, you want the Dallas Mavericks, the 10th seed in the West, to also win their game and then jump up a couple of spots.
By the way, did you hear the latest from Dallas?
I'm scared to ask, but what happened in Dallas?
Nico Harrison has appeared for only the second time since the Luka Doncic trade. No cameras, no recording devices.
That so it's not
like
a press conference.
To you?
It's not a press conference. It's a conversation off the record.
Is
it off the record or not?
All I see is breaking. This is from WFAA, the most notable reputed station in Dallas. Dallas Mavs GM Nico Harrison addressing media for just the second time since the Luka trade, and no cameras and recording devices are allowed.
You could just broke after breaking, and then that's it. I'm sorry about your team.
They don't want to talk about what happened and how things went terribly awry. But Dallas still is, they are a play-in team, and if they win tomorrow and then they win again on Friday, they are in the playoffs, and that elevates the Bulls. So if the Mavericks and the Heat become the 8 seed, here's my point. If the Mavericks and the Heat become the 8 seed, the Bulls then obviously don't make the playoffs. They're in the lottery, and their odds would stand at 9.4% to get a top 4 pick and 2% to get the number one overall pick. A reminder that last year, Atlanta had slightly better odds. I think they had like a 3% chance of getting the number one pick, and they got the number one pick. Would you sign up for that today? 9.4% and 2% as your odds for top four or number one? Or do you want to see these Bulls fight their way into the playoffs by knocking off the Miami Heat at home tomorrow and then going on the road to face the loser of the Orlando Magic and Atlanta Hawks game? All to go to the altar known as Cleveland, the number one seed in the East.
So it's fight to win and then go home later, or it's fight to win and go home now?
Well, don't even fight to win. Just lose, and then you have a chance to get a top four pick at 9.4% or the number one overall pick, a 2% chance.
And listen, we are having some fun with this because, frankly, it deserves a little bit of fun. We have the whole season asked the question, would you rather just have a better draft spot? The Bulls' most recent opponent, the Philadelphia Sixers, told you that they were going to go for that. Or you could be the Mavericks, for example, who are arguably in the play-in situation disgraced after what happened to their team. So much so that they're only talking to a select handful of media members today in what appears to be some sort of memorization test slash off-the-record conversation. I know other teams do it, but the difference is it's usually, you know, something that the beat writers get in a different manner, not necessarily only the second time you've appeared since you traded one of the top players in the league.
And in addition to a standard press conference.
That too. You know what is the exact opposite of that? Billy Donovan. We are the place for him. Billy loves to talk and we love to listen. And he had a great interview this morning with the morning show, Mully and Haw. It was Dan Wiederer filling in for David Haw. And I appreciated what he had to say about the direction of this team, because as we've been trying to figure it out in these, you know, sarcastic terms, he's been the one who's actually been trying to make it work. And there was something that he said where the record of wins and losses, to me, does reflect how he sees a team develop. It makes sense because he's a coach. Listen to him talk about Modest Buzelis' development and why I think it all kind of brings what we've seen this season together.
I understand, you know, when you have a high draft pick, fans want to see the guy play, and they want to see him out there and want to see what he can do. And, you know, obviously, big part of the NBA is, you know, the fans and them coming to games, and they want to see certain players play, and I understand that. But organizationally, I think collectively from top to bottom, responsibility we have is to try to help players understand really what it takes to be an impactful player and a winning player. And I think so much in today's game, you know, is about highlight reels and things like that. And I think for Modest coming in as a very, very young player, he's been always able to rely on his talent. And his talent is elite. But I think if you look at his G League experience, it was interesting when I spoke to him coming in, they won five games in the G League.
Right.
And I am like, how does that happen? You've got all these first-round draft picks and lottery picks, and you guys win five games. How does that happen? And he made the comment to me. I thought it was really, really insightful by him. He said, you know, we had a lot of really young players, and we didn't really have a lot of veteran guys around us to help us. And the coaching staff, you know, tried to do as good as they could, but we kind of had to go through this. And I think that was the thing that we started talking about with him was, besides the ability to run and jump and shoot, what are the things that he can do to impact the outcome of games and be an impactful player besides his own numbers or stats? And I think when he first came here, one is he's going to get physically stronger as he gets older. There's no question about that. He's a very, very good worker. He's competitive. And there's a part of him that, you know, he's got this fearlessness to him that he's not intimidated by things. I think he's played against great players his whole life. But blocking out, communicating on defense, getting back in transition, understanding scouting reports, game plan discipline, how do I take care of myself? How do I eat? How do I rest? All these things were just, I think, a little bit foreign to him. And his idea coming in, I think, early in the season was, I just need to show up and play. And I think he needed to learn a lot more went into it than that.
So I always appreciate Billy Donovan just having the space to discuss things. I would give Billy an hour. I would, as I said on transition with our morning show, I would let him throw in Udonis Haslam stories. I want to hear everything he has to say. If something he sees on our desk reminds him of a story that he wants to share, I'm into it. So when he said the win total of his G League team, Ignite, mattered to him as a coach to see how they developed, that lets you know how he views player development as a whole. And I think also it is a function of seeing what Modest can do. A lot of times, especially in the NBA, Marshall, I think we view individual development separately from team development.
I think that's accurate, but I think there's a reason for that too, because you can see a guy, let's take Anthony Edwards for example. Do you remember when he was in college who he played for? He played for Georgia. They were awful. And even though they were awful, he was doing his thing, and he was the number one pick. But they were awful, let's be clear. And you've seen now, when you put him with good players over the course of time, he has improved, and his team has been good enough that now they're a team that's going to be in the mix to make some type of playoff run. And he led the NBA in threes made this season.
And you think about his just absolutely highlight reel dunks.
Well, yes.
You know, you're not thinking about him as a three-point shooter necessarily. But the point is, he gets everything done.
And he has developed. And so the winning does matter, but I think the winning comes when you have a collection of talent. You know, people talk about you need to learn how to win. Most of these guys have been winning their whole lives, but they've been doing it through sheer, I'm more athletic and just better and more skilled than you. When you take it up to the next level, you have to go up against other guys who are maybe just as skilled, even if they might not be as athletic as you. And so I think for Modest Bouzelis, the skills are there. You could see it on individual plays, but you're trying to figure out how that's going to fit in with a winning team. Obviously, he needs to add weight. He needs better defense as far as more consistently getting where he needs to be, moving his feet, all that stuff. But we've seen over the back half of the season him improve in all those things. And what Billy Donovan is speaking to is the fact that, okay, we've got you now with other NBA players who know how to do things instead of just a bunch of young guys like yourself.
And I think what Billy shows there is, number one, as a coach, you're always going to look at success when it comes to team wins, and that makes sense. You can find the bright spots and you can find the success in individual performances or knowing that your team is still headed in a positive direction if there's a loss that sets you back. But another piece of it is when you're on a winning team, you tend to play better. And we saw that with Kobe White, both show his development and speak from that talent that you talked about and you referred to with Anthony Edwards, similar. He was used to being that guy who teams relied on, but he wanted to go from good to great. So you see how that worked out for him. And then also, just confidence as a coach, knowing you can't be the only voice to somebody. Yeah, Billy Donovan says you need veterans around you to help you learn how to go about your business.
Because Billy Donovan can tell them whatever, and yes, he has experience playing basketball as well, but you need your contemporaries, someone to show you the way, someone who's been around several blocks as some of the Bulls. And Bulls aren't even that old of a team per se, but even a guy like Kobe White has been here now several seasons where he can lean in. I think one of the reasons why they've been able to develop Modest Bouzelis, and you can say in turn Kobe White and Josh Giddey, is that they're playing a different style of basketball than what Kobe White was playing when he first came into this league. I wanted to make sure we hear about Billy Donovan describing really the type of play that he wanted to see his Bulls play and the fact that they are actually able to do that finally this season.
I know when the season started, even in the first, you know, practice, media day, you know, I was being asked questions about, you know, we're projected to win 28 games. You know, we're projected to be, you know, one of the bottom teams. And I know we've been kind of stuck in the middle, so to speak. You know, I've loved this group on a lot of different levels. I think for every team that goes through an 82-game season, there's always turbulence and there's always ups and downs. And these guys have navigated that really well. I think the first thing I look at is, you know, when DeMar went to Sacramento and Alex ended up getting to the trade with Oklahoma City and then Josh came in, I think the one thing we tried to establish was a style of play that we wanted to play. And I think that that was a real makeover that these guys had to go through. And they deserve a lot of credit for how we've tried to play a lot faster, taking more threes, and our rosters allowed us to do that. I think the sacrifice piece, when we were healthy with Lonzo, with Kobe, with Io, with Josh Giddey, with all the number of ball handlers we had, the level of sacrifice that they all took upon themselves, that I'm not going to have the ball in my hands all the time. And Kobe's been great with that, playing on the ball, off the ball. Hmm.
I think listening to that part, especially the last part, they've learned to adapt to the idea that because now they're running and gunning, everyone's going to get shots. And you don't even need to have the ball in your hands all the time because the ball will find you if you get open. And a guy like Josh Giddey, along with Kobe White, they facilitated a different style of basketball, which is something they've been trying to play for years. But with DeMar DeRozan and to a certain level, Zach LaVine, you just couldn't get into that type of a sharing mode.
I think a difference in pace is that you're going to see the court differently. You're going to be in different spots. You will get to those spots faster, especially if you know you can outrun a team, which the Bulls are confident that they can do.
Fourth quarter, teams look real tired against them.
Including Miami.
Yeah.
So all of that said, I feel like in this case, you're seeing a team know that if they see the court differently, if they're running at a different pace, then they have opportunities. But all of this is a function of a team system. And I found it really interesting that player development rooted in Billy Donovan was still a function of team success. That was good stuff for sure. We will examine more from Billy Donovan on the morning show and the shows that we have leading up to tomorrow night's play-in game. By the way, we are giving away tickets as well. So you want to make sure you listen for that opportunity. And the other thing is we want to do something called the Meat Bowl Machine.
Can't wait.
Yeah, take people through the Meat Bowl Machine.
The Meat Bowl Machine, if you go, you know about our Meat Ball Machine. Same thing. We're just giving it the Meat Bowl nickname because that moniker fits what the topic is. But I really want to know from fans out there, fans who are casual fans, fans who are diehard fans, what do you want to see from this Bulls team now that the moment is upon us? Right now, as it currently sits, if they don't make the playoffs, they would be a 5.7% chance to be a top four pick, and that could go up to as high as 9.4%, depending on if Miami and or Dallas get in instead of the Bulls to the playoffs as the 8th seed in the Eastern and Western conferences, respectfully. And meanwhile, they are a 1.2% chance to be the number one overall pick if they don't make it in as the 8th seed. That could go up all the way to 2% if Miami and Dallas get into the Eastern and Western Conference playoffs, respectively. So would you rather have those slim single-digit odds of getting a top four or a number one pick, or would you rather see the Bulls win a couple of games, beat Miami, and then beat the loser of Orlando and Atlanta and go see the Cavaliers for a seven-game series that will probably be shorter than it is long?
Let's face it, Cleveland has just been a very good team this year.
What do you want from these Bulls now that we're at this point where you can finally say, hey, we have a shot in the lottery, or we're completely out of the lottery and we're probably not winning this first round series?
So you're telling me there's a chance, but you're telling me there's a chance. So go to the Meat Bowl Machine. We know it as the voicemail feature on the Odyssey app. So you can go to the Odyssey app. It says leave a voicemail. That is for us. We usually call it the Meatball Machine. It doesn't
meatball
talk back.
Machine.
Also, to people who are wondering about the WNBA draft, we had a text come in, and they asked if we were talking about it. We just did with Carly Bell. So if you missed that, you can go back on the Rewind feature, listen to that segment on the Odyssey app, because we wanted to talk about the Chicago Sky getting Haley Van Lith. All of that is there for you. But what's next? It is our weekly visit with Ian Happ, the Cubs outfielder of residence here on the Midday Show on The Score. You won't want to miss that. It's next.
This season, a new hot deal has arrived at Metro. $25 a line for 4 lines with all the data you need and 4 free Samsung Galaxy A15 5G phones. Getting Metro's best deals is easy. No ID required, no activation fees. Get a new number or keep your own. It's up to you. That's 4 lines for $25 a line plus 4 free phones. Visit a store or go online today. Only at Metro by T-Mobile.
When you join Metro Plus Tax, for a limited time and subject to change, max one offer per account.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy.
This is Today with
Zoe. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
When things are tough, we talk about it. When there's something to figure out,
we dig into it. And when there's joy, we celebrate it.
Because today is where it's all happening. We get the best start to every morning because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show with Savannah Guthrie and Craig Melvin weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
Ian Happ, Cubs All-Star outfielder.
Ian Happ gets a standing ovation. This is his 1,000th big league game, all of them in the uniform of the Chicago Cubs. The 32nd Cub player ever to appear in 1,000 games for the Cubs. Happ hits one in the air, deep center field. Back goes Merrill, still going. That's over his head. It's off the vines, and Happ has a stand-up double.
That's how you kick off your 1,000th game in a Cub uniform. You bang one off the ivy and straightaway center.
Gold Glove Award winner.
Slice the other way towards the line. Look out, baby. What a catch. Unbelievable.
Connect Roasters coffee enthusiast.
Here's a man that probably has 5 fresh pots a day.
Ian Happ on 670 The Score.
We toast you, Ian Happ.
He joins us on the Circa Sports Illinois Hotline. Download the Circa app today. Ian Happ, the Cubs outfielder, 3-time Gold Glove Award winner, and he also co-hosts the Compound Podcast, which is now a part of Odyssey Sports. New episodes drop each Wednesday with the latest discussion on the Cubs and baseball. Download and listen on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. We are happy to be joined by Ian Happ from San Diego, waking up early for us on The Score. Thanks, Ian.
Yeah. How you doing today?
We're good. I know it was a late night for you, but I guess not a late night for us as we were watching you guys play. What were your takeaways from that game? Obviously, you had just taken 2 of 3 from the Dodgers. You just took 2 of 3 at home from the Padres, but it seemed like a tough way to get that series started.
We did a good job against Cease, had good at-bats, put ourselves in a position there to have the lead. You know, a couple things go the wrong way, and it's a good offense. You know, Padres are a really good team. It's a good offense. They get a good back end of the bullpen. So, once they went up and they kind of kept adding on, and their arms did a good job protecting that at the end. But I thought, you know, good at-bats all the way around from our group, and, you know, they're going to have games like that throughout the course of the season. That's not going to be the last of them. So, you know, we just move on from there and have a good game tonight and try to even up the series. I think that's, you know, one of the things we did really well in LA, moved on from the first one and then went and took the series.
This segment with Ian Happ is brought to you by Finishing Chicago. Great finishes start with contractors from finishingchicago.com. Ian, one of the things that Marshall and I have joked about is this is a bear to start the season when you consider the level of opponents that you've got in the NL West. And we joked, I called it Hell Week, and Hell Week lasts like 2 weeks and 2 days. But how can you use this as a good measuring stick and really kind of set the standard? Because I feel like these are playoff-type series we're watching with you guys already, in a way.
I mean, yeah, we're playing a lot of good teams right now. I think, you know, between the Dodgers, Padres, D-backs have obviously been really good the last couple of years and have a great group. Like, there's just a lot of good teams across the NL, and at some point you're going to have to play all of them. I think, we're excited for the challenge. I think I've been saying that for a couple of weeks now, but it's good to play these teams and have these really competitive games early in the season, and it's been a lot of fun. I think the atmospheres have been great between Dodger Stadium and San Diego. You know, there's some really good atmospheres here and some big situations and some good experiences.
With the Dodgers, I mean, we know what that's like. I mean, they're the reigning world champions. I was almost a little surprised at how ridiculously active that Padres fan base is. I know they were undefeated at home coming into last night and still now 11-0 at that ballpark. But does it catch you guys off guard at all this early in the season to have that raucous of an atmosphere?
No, it's been like that for years here. Since they started letting fans back in 21, definitely 22, 23, 24, this fan base has showed up. They've packed it out. It doesn't matter if it's a Monday or Saturday night, you know, they're there. They've been up there in attendance for the last few years. They've done a great job of, you know, they have, really good teams that compete and the fans appreciate it. You know, you walk through the city here and, yeah, there's San Diego Padres hats and Padres jerseys and all kinds of stuff. It's good atmosphere to play in. And I was actually talking to a couple of the guys in the locker room after the game. You know, wasn't like that, you know, 7-8 years ago. And it's a credit to the organization for what they've built.
No, it was not. I was the Padres field reporter, and I loved working in San Diego. The NL West travel schedule at the time was also fantastic. But I think as a player rep, Ian, they're a good example of what happens when you really invest in a team the way they have. And I don't know if that's something, it's hard to compliment the team that you're facing, you know, you just lose to them last night. But overall, something like that really shows players, I think, and is a good example to ownership. That this is what happens when you do pay people and you do up your payroll in the way that they have.
Yeah, I think there's a combination of a few things. I think, you know, their front office has done a really good job. They definitely were not afraid to shell out some cash and go and build that team. But they've done a good job of finding, you know, whether it's bullpen arms or extending some guys to some contracts that are going to help them later down the road, just with where it stacks up for AAV and luxury tax space. Like, they've done a lot of those things right, you know, and even Machado's first deal, like, they've done a lot of those things right. And I think that's helped them build what this is. And yeah, it's a long season. We're 2 weeks in. But yeah, the atmosphere there has been great for the last few years.
What was it like trying to field the ball? I knew you probably knew that conversation was going to happen. As an outfielder, procedurally, what happens there? Because we've seen it before. Dansby Swanson loves to run. He loves to cover a lot of ground. You've got a ball between you, third baseman, and short. How does that work? What's the procedure?
Yeah. And that's a tough one. Dansby's really good at getting out there. You know, the way that we're playing sheets there, I'm pretty straight up in dead left field, which is not as common for a lefty. Usually you're over towards the line just a little bit. I'm in dead left field. Dansby's really up the middle in that situation. And Matty Shaw's in a little bit. It's really hard for Matt to go backwards, run straight back to get to that ball. So, you know, Dansby and I both went after it. He had a really long run. I was kind of peeking at him in that situation, and I should have just put my head down and got to that baseball. It's that's one that, you know, I'm the first option there, and I'm the guy that's got to make that play, and should have put my head down and got to it.
Cubs outfielder Ian Happ joining us here on Score Middays. Marshall Harris, Layla Rahimi. Question, I know there's a 6.6 earthquake in Southern California. Did you feel that at all?
Oh yeah.
tell us about your thoughts were.
Yeah, I mean, that was crazy. Yesterday morning, just in the room, and actually FaceTiming my wife, and it's like, I thought housekeeping was coming in, and I was like, no, I'm still in here. And I was like, oh, it's an earthquake. Oh God, it's an earthquake. It was like, kind of like realized it a couple seconds in. You know, it lasted, I don't know, 10 seconds or so, but yeah, I feel like the whole building was shaking, doors were moving. Like, it was pretty serious.
What floor were you on?
7.
Have you ever been in an earthquake?
No. Nope.
So at that point, are you texting other players, or like people are coming out of their rooms? Because I know typically people can be on similar floors and stuff to see what was going on.
Yes. Our team group chat was definitely active after that. got a few, Midwest kids who haven't felt too many of those.
Well,
we also have some California kids who are like, not a big deal.
Not a big deal. PCA is like, this is nothing.
Yeah, who was unfazed by the earthquake? We need to know.
I think Pete and Nico, I don't think it got them very bad. I think that's not their first one, and they were good. There's a couple of us, me and Birdie, a couple of the Midwest guys who were a little confused about why the ground was shaking.
Okay, as long as nobody like took off sprinting like they were running from the earthquake or something, I think we're in good shape. I want to ask a question that was brought up by the text line, Ian, because they're very much on top of things. From the 734, they talk about the fact that you batted right-handed against Miguel Rojas, the right-handed position player. And I wonder, is that something that you would do just against a position player as opposed to an everyday pitcher? Is that why
you Yeah, I started doing it a couple years ago, like 2022. I really struggled against position players early in my career. I would just pop up. Like I got 0-2 against Scooter Gennett once, and luckily he hit me. I was like really scared I was going to strike out.
So you were worried at that point. At that point, it kind of creeps in, right?
Well, I mean, yeah, just I think I was like 0-for-5 or something. Just had like never gotten a hit off a position player. Never felt like it was even competitive that I was going to. So I knew some guys that had, you know, some right-handed hitters who had gone up right out on right against like knuckleballers. And so at that point in 22, I was like, you know what, I'm just going to try going right on right when these guys are, because it's not, guys aren't throwing like 70 miles an hour and trying to get you out. It's guys are just lobbing it in there. So went up righty in 22, got a couple hits doing it that year, hit a homer. So last year, 2 years ago, right-handed, off position player. So I've had more success right-handed. I won't say that I'm not the best at hitting position players, but had more success right-handed, so I'm sticking with it.
Why do I have the feeling that Anthony Rizzo, who I think relished opportunities like that, would never let somebody hear the end of it if he struck them out?
Yeah, that sounds right. I mean, he's got Freddie Freeman. I don't know when the last time he saw Freddie was, but I'm sure he lets him know every time he sees him.
Ian, looking at tonight's matchup, you've got Shota Imanaga on the mound. I know he had a rougher start his last time out, but he's been so good. What is the level of confidence like when Shota takes the mound? And obviously, this is a series that you want to get back even with and have a chance still at a winning road trip.
Yeah, yeah, we really believe in him. I think he's does such a good job filling up the zone, not walking guys, being competitive, and just being out there competing and giving us a chance to win. Yeah, everybody's going to have rough starts throughout the course of making your 30, 32 starts. So now we're really confident he's going to get back on the bump tonight and give us a really good start and give us a chance to win the baseball game.
And also, I know you're a big golf fan. So you're faced with the task of having to play Sunday night baseball. Keep an eye on the Masters. How did you absorb Rory's win? What did you have to do? Weren't you playing already? Marshall and I were trying to figure out if game time was overlapping with the playoff.
Yeah, we thought it was going to be a decent time, game time, to be able to watch as much as we could, which it was. We were able to watch while we were getting ready, basically all the way until Rory teed off on 18 the first time. So Rory hits his tee shot on 18, and I saw it getting in the fairway, and then I headed out to the field. It was probably 25 minutes before game time, so I headed out to the field to start doing my pregame stuff. And then, yeah, I didn't know that he won until after, so that was missing seeing 18 and then seeing the playoff all was tough.
Oh, yeah, I was wondering, because I know we always like to ask you, especially about your Masters and your major predictions. So I was curious about that. Tell us what's going on with Connect Roasters, by the way, and just, I know you have a ton of charitable efforts as well.
Yeah, Connect, we have the cold brew coming out. Cold brew cans should be ready soon, and we have the coffee shandy, half coffee, half lemonade. I'm going to make everybody try that one. And we actually, I'm going to test out some new pour-over stuff when I get back to Chicago. We're working on a few things, working on a few new coffees. So I'm doing a bunch of testing when I get back this week, and I'm excited about it.
Let us know if you end up taste testing with any of the players. I'm always curious about their reactions. I know Jamin Sintayone, for example, is a big coffee guy. So.
Oh, yeah. Jamin and I will be tasting together.
Love it. I think that that needs to be aired as a, some sort of NPR type of video. That's just my two cents.
That would be very good. Maybe that's a new podcast segment.
I actually think it would be awesome.
Thanks so much for joining us. We really appreciate it.
Appreciate it. Have a good one.
That was Ian Happ from San Diego. Earthquake survivor, Ian Happ from San Diego.
I'm glad I asked
us
that question. I didn't know it was going to be that big of a deal, but I guess not everyone has experienced an earthquake.
I haven't, and I have family in California. I go to California all the time, and I have been lucky that way.
I felt one when I was in Sacramento. I was like, oh, okay, it's not a big deal. Now I was a couple hundred miles away from the epicenter of said earthquake, but it's interesting because you just it's the closest thing I can describe it to is like being on a boat that's swaying, and like you just can't get your footing.
Can you imagine in these high rises?
No, I don't want to do that.
No.
I don't want to do that.
No.
I do not want to do that.
The earth is terrifying. That's all I'm going to say about that. We have to celebrate an anniversary in pop culture history that is very specific to a group of people within a very small age range on High Noon. So that is what I'm going to observe next.
I'm just
going to
go with you on that.
You might be just... No, I think you're in the age range, actually.
To celebrate this?
Yeah. You're probably going to know what it is.
Okay. All right. I'm on board.
So the very important anniversary is next.
I'll be back this way on Monday. We'll settle this then. Right there. Out in the street. In front of the Palace Saloon.
Yeah, right. When? High Noon?
It is time for High Noon. We do it every day around this time. We talked a lot about the Cubs and Padres game from last night. Pete Crow Armstrong talked to Zach Zaidman about his future, which is just a little brighter after the last 2 days of baseball he played. Carly Bell joined us to talk WNBA draft. If you missed that, you can go back, check it out on the Rewind feature on the Odyssey app. We want your opinions on the Bulls. The meat bull machine will be fired up, so leave a voicemail on the Odyssey app with us. Tell us what you think about the Bulls. Billy Donovan told us what he thought. We went over some of his comments on the morning show. And then additionally, Ian Happ just talked to us live from San Diego about surviving earthquakes and dealing with excellent opponents on their road trip. It's time. All right, this is going to affect a certain subset of the population, but I'm in it.
Okay.
It was yesterday. I wasn't here.
Okay.
We mustn't dwell. No, not today. We can't. Not on Rex Manning Day.
What?
Empire Records, the movie that had Rex Manning Day, which was definitely tailored to a certain subset of people. I want to say elderly millennials is how I would put it, and like young Gen Xers.
I'm a young Gen Xer,
is
huh?
now 30 years old. 30. It came out in 1995. So yesterday, which is April 14th, I always know it as Rex Manning Day. Hit the music, Robbie Triano.
Oh, we mustn't dwell. No. No, not today. We can't. Not on Rex Manning Day.
I heard you on the wireless back in 52.
Oh, yeah. This is where everybody at Empire Records got all gussied up because it was Rex Manning Day. And they're all hullabaloo through the Empire Records store that's about to get sold to a corporate conglomerate.
I remember
Music
the movie.
Town.
I've seen it. I just can't remember Rex Manning Day.
Well, Rex Manning was the dude from Grease 3. I don't know the name of the actor.
There's a Grease 3?
There's a Grease 3, and it is weird. Or is it Grease 2?
I was like, I remember Grease 2.
I think
2.
It's Grease. Is it Grease 2? I'm looking at Connor O'Donnell, who's jamming out to Video Kill the Radio Star right now. I think it's Grease 2, actually. So there's a dude from Grease 2. Just know it's not Grease 1. And he plays Rex Manning. And Liv Tyler is in this show. And she's trying to, you know, say hi to her crush that she had growing up, which was Rex Manning. And I don't want to ruin the ending of the movie that's 30 years old for anybody.
Spoiler alert.
Especially people listening to our station, because the demographic is square in the middle of who listens to us. But it was Rex Manning Day yesterday, and he has a fictional song in it called Say No More, Mon Amour.
I love fictional songs.
It is 90s cheese. It is like these it's making fun of like that whole crooner, I don't want to call it sexy, that's the wrong word, but just that vibe. He's like in this like pirate shirt dancing on the beach, and these girls are like in the background on this bed on the beach just like posing. It's all very awkward, but that's kind of the point. But the real bottom line is, damn the man, save the empire.
I love the mention of a fake song for a movie. I have a very specific fake song for a movie, my favorite of all time. Okay, I'm gonna share that with the program. Are you familiar with a movie called Hustle and Flow?
Of course, Terrence Howard.
Terrence Howard, the author of the song, is his. I think his name was DJ in the movie. Whoop that trick. Whoop that trick.
And now it's the Memphis Grizzlies playoff song.
So like a song that was made specifically just for a movie inside the movie, but became a song.
Well, and speaking of Terrence Howard, isn't that kind of the idea of Empire?
Yes.
Like when Empire came out and you and I were working together at the same time. And if Empire did not have a stronghold on the CSN Philly newsroom.
Yeah. Empire was a thing, man.
It absolutely was a thing. People were talking about it. And when it first came out, I was very into Empire. I feel like he single-handedly revived the turtleneck and blazer look for everybody. Lucius Lyon.
Did that ever go away?
I think it did go away briefly. I think it did.
I'm mad. I now got to go watch Empire Records to reset.
See, and here's how inside Empire Records is. Like, for example, 847 must be a Texas thing. I'm 48. This is my 30th high school reunion year. I graduated in 95, and I've never seen that movie here in the Midwest. But then multiple people under that, 847, junior year, 312. Such an underrated movie, 312. Yes, 847. Damn the man.
Oh, wait a minute. 815 has a very good...
It's not just a Texas thing, but it is that inside...
A great nomination for fake song for a movie.
Yes.
I forgot. Eurotrip. Scotty doesn't know.
Good call.
Scotty doesn't know.
Okay, should we mention this to the people, the thing we've been workshopping, because we have a little time here.
Okay.
We are thinking about doing a midday show movie club. Where
yes,
we all watch a movie, and we're going to give you some time. Like 2 weeks is what we decide.
Yeah, like, well, how about this? We'll announce like... Our first one 2 weeks out, we'll mention it. And then the next week when we're 2 weeks out, or excuse me, 1 week from the first one, we'll give you the second one. So you always have a two-week
window
to watch your movie to catch up, and we can discuss
it. And then there's going to be a segment where we discuss it.
Yes.
Like a book club.
A movie club, because
yeah.
Who's got time to read? I read a lot of articles on The Athletic and Chicago Sun-Times Tribune. Between all those,
those are my top three.
Periodicals.
Those are my
going.
Top three. Mixing 670 The Score as well. And I'm
Do you guys
kidding.
Have any movies in mind that you want to start with, or are we taking suggestions from the mob?
All of it.
I think everything's in play. Robbie, everything's in play here.
815, good call. Score in a movie.
Score in a movie.
That's such a great segment name.
Yeah, you can watch a movie, you can score. You can score while watching a movie. You can score instead of watching the movie. Hey, we're equal opportunity around here. We're equal opportunity around here. So, yeah. But Scotty doesn't know. Matt Damon doing his thing. Because it's at the beginning of the movie. And it sets the tone. And then they hear the movie, like, down the road. Different versions, remixes.
It's amazing.
And it's Matt Damon... In like full, I think golf.
Maybe that's the movie. We rewatch Eurotrip.
Eurotrip is a classic. It is underrated.
All right. Nomination number one for the movie club is Eurotrip. You have no deadline yet.
Yeah, we haven't set our first one. But we got some changes in store coming up.
I'm not writing it down on a piece of paper I'm going to throw away, but it's fine.
Ray, can you put in the official files?
Yeah, put Eurotrip it in our
is going to be
file.
Our first. Are we going with this suggestion from 815, Score in a Movie?
Score in a Movie. I like
our
it.
Our movie club is going to be called Score in a Movie. We're going to watch a movie together as a family, as a midday family, and then we will discuss.
We got a lot of recommendations already on the text line for both the title and a movie. All right, you guys are working on it. Twitch, I know you're working on it as well. In the meantime, Adam Amin is here. He's going to talk about the Bulls game. Don't forget, we're giving away tickets to the play-in. And we want to ask him about Bear stuff, too. Maybe we ask him about DJing as well, because he's been killing it in that as well. So all of the things with the multi-talented Adam Amin. Next
Can I ask
score.
Him about DJ from Hustle and Flow? Is that
yes.
on the table?
He's okay. a well-read man. Okay. Dude, this is what they do on the all Bulls right. games.
Bet.
Love it. Next on The Score.